A special thanks to Formulate for sponsoring this podcast. You are listening to We Saw the Devil, an investigative and conversational true crime podcast that deep dives into fascinating criminal cases that are solved, unsolved, or ongoing. From America's Lori Vallow to Germany's Armin Mivas, we examine and discuss the world's most shocking cases. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to follow us online. Check us out at WeSawTheDevil.com and WeSawTheDevil on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And don't forget, you can become part of the show by backing us on Patreon. Hello everyone, it's Robin. You are listening to We Saw the Devil, and for this episode, I have a quick Lori Vallow update for you. But before we get into that, let's just get our quick housekeeping out of the way. You can find us on our website, as always, at WeSawTheDevil.com, and across all social media platforms under our same name. If you're liking the show, loving the show, I mean, feel free to back us. You can do that on Patreon.com/WeSawTheDevil. For as little as $3 a month, you can get cool goodies. You can support us and then also get cool goodies in return, like stickers, merch, t-shirts. Depending on your tier, even the ability to come on the podcast with us and do an episode. So basically, you would come on, pick your favorite true crime case, and then we would actually publish that episode out. We are starting to schedule those with our patrons now. So if you're interested, now would be the time to get on it. Last Friday, so our last episode that we put out last Friday was an episode on graphic sexual horror, which is a documentary film. And it's really fascinating. It's actually one of my favorites because it tells the story in, I think, a very raw and visceral way of the notoriously violent pornographic website InSex. Now, InSex was actually shut down by the Department of Homeland Security in 2005. And this has been a topic that, because I've been so into true crime, it's not one that you can really ignore. A lot of violent sexual offenders, probably most notoriously even Ted Bundy, obviously in a last-ditch effort to be manipulative, but he credited violent pornography as one of his big triggers and one of his big things. Then we have Cameron Hooker, notorious BDSM sadist who kidnapped a woman and kept her under his bed for 7 years. It's been a really fascinating topic to me personally, and we'll get into this on the second episode, but I just feel like I think a lot of us look at stuff like that and say, okay, wow, that's straight out of the mind of a serial killer. And I always wonder, is there a correlation? Is there a causal relationship between the two? Is it merely a tool of escalation? So there are actually a considerable amount of studies on the topic that actually support pretty much either camp that you're in. So first episode, again, was just the review, a history of InSex and what they were about. And then for the second episode coming out later this week, we are going to break down and actually delve into some of the studies between violent pornography and how that actually impacts violent sexual offenders. So we are going to get into that, and that will be released later this week. Alrighty, so I guess let's just go ahead and get into it, shall we? Not a lot has actually happened in the Vallow case. As everyone knows, it's been quite silent on that front, other than just a good bit of, say, legal posturing, Mark Means always being a little extra, but it's been relatively quiet. So it was really interesting this last week when there was a little bit of movement. Now, granted, it's not big movement, but it's movement nonetheless. Rob Wood came out and basically said that Fremont County will not give him the autopsy report of Tammy Daybell, which, if you think about it, guys, that is actually pretty normal. And why? Because there are no charges against either Lori or Chad for Tammy Daybell's death. No murder charges, nothing. So as it stands right now, Tammy Daybell and the investigation into her death is an entirely separate entity. It has nothing to do with this. So I'm wondering how this death investigation is going. But yeah, Rob Wood is saying that Fremont County will not give him the autopsy report. So I wonder if they are slowly but surely maybe even preparing charges for either Chad or Lori with Tammy Daybell's death. But that was kind of a fascinating point. I wonder where this is going to head. I wonder if we are going to see charges added here soon. In my soul, I mean, for whatever that's worth, obviously not much of anything. I really truly believe that over the next couple weeks to a month, we are going to see a tremendous amount of movement in this case, potentially additional charges, maybe more information coming out. But I do believe that in the next month or so, there's going to be some sort of movement. Probably the biggest piece, and this is what we'll be looking for this week, is Mark Means and John Pryor. Let's talk about DNA. Alrighty, so in essence, John Pryor filed a motion last Thursday and is requesting an expedited hearing for a motion to oppose use of and a motion to preserve DNA samples. So he is asking Judge Stephen Boyce to stop Rob Wood and the prosecution from pursuing any testing on remaining samples until they, the defense team, can get their own independent experts to test it. So on Thursday, John Pryor basically came out and said that Rob Wood sent him a message last Wednesday stating that he intends to have additional DNA testing done on the evidence that's been collected. Now, this testing would, quote, consume the remaining samples obtained by law enforcement. We don't know where those samples are coming from or what they are. Deductive reasoning would say that it's likely from JJ or Tylee. Maybe duct tape, remains, hair. Maybe even physical evidence from Lori's townhouse, something that someone somehow collected. Who knows? But I would assume that that's biological. Whatever testing Rob Wood and the prosecution would do on that would deplete that sample. So John Pryor says that no, you're not going to do that. We want our own experts to do some testing on these samples so you can't have it. And we need access to that, which makes complete and total sense. So John Pryor is requesting four things. First, not to pursue any DNA testing on remaining DNA samples until the defense can obtain half of these samples for their own testing. Two, provide all records, reports, and documentation related to testing that has already been performed. So he wants all documentation related to the testing that the prosecution and Rob Wood has already performed. Third, allow the defendant's DNA expert to go directly to any lab to review, copy, photograph, and document procedures that will be done in the future or have been done in the past. And four, provide to the defense any and all evidence related to DNA testing in the case. So John Pryor wants access to those DNA samples. I don't understand why his experts haven't quite done that yet, or he hasn't like gotten those ducks in a row just yet. That seems like something that he probably should have got on when the two children were unearthed from his client's home, backyard, but I digress. So also on Thursday, Mark Means filed a couple motions to oppose use of DNA, preserve samples, etc. Also, motion for photographic recordings of serology samples and review lab records. So basically, Mark Means came in and brought up the rear with this and said, yeah, me too. The hearing for this is actually going to take place in 2 days, so on Wednesday at 9 a.m. And I do believe that this is going to be a public one as well. Please correct me if I'm wrong. And my favorite part of this is Mark Means, also because he has to be just a little bit extra, threw in and asked that the prosecutor not CC the court. So in essence, he was accusing them of backdoor communications. He was like, Rob, don't CC the court. That's, kind of like backdoor communications. So of course, Mark Means has to take a swipe in any way that he can. Bless it. Other than that, it did come out that there is a Lori Vallow movie coming out this summer. Why? Why though? Like, why? This case has not even made it to trial. We still don't know about Zulema, Alex's death, even though it was ruled natural. Joseph Ryan, we don't know about the children. What happened to them? This has not even made it to trial yet. So I just, for the life of me, I can't understand why this is being made. Does Lifetime really, are they in that big of a danger for going bankrupt that they're just already making this cash grab? I mean, this is actually pretty extreme because there's so much that we don't know and they're already wanting to put this on screen. I don't know. Are you going to be watching? Let us know if you guys plan to watch it just to have additional content and whatnot. I think the most offensive thing about this is that, well, first of all, Mark Blucas, if you haven't seen, was cast to play Chad, and Chad does not deserve this upgrade. He does not deserve this upgrade. I mean, and then Lauren Lee Smith plays Lori Vallow, and she looks nothing like her. I'm pissed. I feel like they had one opportunity to get this correct, and they just basically said, F it. We're just, this is what we're going to do. But I mean, really, what can you expect from Lifetime Movie Network? So let us know if you plan to watch it. I don't know how they're going to address this. I feel like there's so much mystery still behind this case. I know that it's come out, and multiple people in Utah and Idaho have come forward and said that they can confirm that Lori Vallow and Melanie Gibb and Chad Daybell all knew each other much earlier than what everyone, you know, what we've previously known. So if that's the case, then, I mean, there's still a lot of mystery to unravel here. And I think it's just maybe a little premature to do this case justice. But it seems like a complete and utter cash grab to me. Also, if you guys missed it, I mean, literally blink and you'll miss it. Mark Means went on Court TV to discuss the outcome of the Derek Chauvin trial. He basically was asked, how do you think the defense attorney feels, you know, today, the day after? Is he licking his wounds? Is he crying? You know, how do you think the defense attorney feels about this? And Mark Means surprisingly said, well, the jurors made the right decision, which for some reason, to me, Mark Means comes off as very anti-government and doesn't really seem like he would be one to go against police, but I digress. But he's like, yeah, well, the jury made the correct decision. And then he launched into this really, really random basketball analogy of, you know, you have Jordans versus whoever I've never even heard of. I'm not a basketball fan. Launched into this just random analogy. And that was it. So he made a couple more comments. But yeah, guys, I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, why is he on Court TV and television? I don't know. John Pryor, in my opinion, is a much, much, much stronger attorney. Sure, he may be a shitbag who sexually harasses and attempts to assault women coming to him for legal guidance, but he is, you know, I feel like he is a much smarter person. So at least get him, I don't know. Also through the grapevine, it has been discussed that Melanie Gibb and David Warwick broke up. Apparently, this has been confirmed via multiple sources now that Melanie Gibb and David Warwick have separated. Apparently, their newlywed bliss did not last very long and they are no longer together. It has been said that Melanie wants to be closer to her children and then had a huge blowout with David Warwick's family. Who knows? Melanie Gibb and children, those are two different things that should not belong in the same sentence. I wonder if that's going to impact this case at all. Melanie Gibb and David Warwick had some sort of united front. Remember, David Warwick and Melanie Gibb have known Chad, were huge friends of Chad. They podcasted together. And also don't forget when Melanie Gibb and David Warwick visited Lori and Chad in Rexburg, that they apparently went and looked at property. Chad wanted basically like the promised land and stuff, you know? So part of me is going to wonder until the day that I die, unless this is confirmed, that Melanie Gibb and David Warwick were fully in on the plan, that they know so much more than they have come out and admitted to. And David Warwick is really, really, really weird and has the visions and near-death experience. And he is literally another Chad to some degree, maybe not that extreme level. Since now that they've separated, divorces and separations can be very hostile, very messy, if this is actually going to impact the case at all. You do have to wonder about things like that. Like, if David wanted to show a united front and not let some stuff about the group out, and then Melanie feels spurned or upset if she comes out and says it. I mean, all of this is deliciously dramatic, but only time will tell. And then just as a really quick aside, guys, I love that all of you think Julie Rowe is crazy as a shithouse rat as well, but her Instagram is further gold currently. My favorite being last week, she made a video of her being like, I know I have all you haters and, you know, several thousands of you, and you know, this is it. And then she starts playing the beloved like late 90s, early 2000s Pocket Full of Sunshine song and then starts dancing. Of course, in her car. I mean, obviously, where else would she dance or be for that matter? But it was just God. And then she also dances to rap, and her Instagram is just gold. If you're having a bad day, if you've lost your job or something like heinous has happened to you, go to Julie Rowe's Instagram. I guarantee you that it will at least get you to smile. And sometimes we just need that. But that's pretty much all that's going on. I mean, in closing, this Wednesday, we have the hearing regarding the DNA testing, so that will be very interesting. But that's pretty much it, guys. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm almost at a loss as far as what to discuss with the Lori Vallow. Everyone constantly wants me to put out Lori Vallow content, but I simply do not know what there is left to talk about. We've done deep dives on most of the people. You know, we do the weekly updates of just the news that comes through. I don't know what else to talk about with Lori Vallow. So get back to us. Let us know if there's something that you want us to look into with the Lori Vallow case or exactly how we can approach it differently so that it's not redundant and boring. Are you tired of the guess and test method when it comes to hair care? Formulate is the world's first personalized hair care formulation chemistry service. Work with your chemist to design the best shampoo and conditioner you have ever used. Each custom formulation is designed based on your own unique characteristics and adjusted based on your feedback and progress. Head on over to www.formulate.co/podcast. Complete the brief hair questionnaire and use my code DEVIL at checkout. Order today and you will get the second order free. Once again, that's www.formulate.co/podcast and use my code DEVIL at checkout, or you can follow the link below in the show notes and description. All right, guys, now we are entering the listener questions portion of the show where I field questions that you guys send to us, and they can be anything. So if you have a question, generic, about us, about the Lori Vallow case, about anything in the world, send us an email to info@wesawthedevil.com and I will start fielding them. Okay, first question was submitted by Mia, and she said, Robin, how old are you? I am 36 years old. I know that some of you may think I am older, but alas, I am not. And it's so funny because a dear friend that I have made from this podcast actually initially thought that I was probably in my 50s, which I'm so sorry to disappoint that I have not yet earned my AARP card quite yet. Even though I love watching my bird feeder and identifying new birds that come to it, thanks to the pandemic and lack of being able to go anywhere, I am 36 years old. Let's see. Next, Ellen asked, what is your favorite true crime case? I would say that my favorite case overall is the Armin Mivas case out of Germany, the consensual cannibal case that we've actually already covered on this show before. There is something within me that is just, I don't understand. You know, we covered the case, and just to recap, Armin Mivas was a gay man from Germany who grew up fantasizing about eating people. He quickly realized that he was in fact gay, and so he started getting on cannibal chat rooms and looking for a consensual victim. Apparently, finding that is much easier than one would like to think, and he actually found a willing victim, someone who was just incredibly depressed, did not want to live anymore, and so the man came to Armin Mivas' home where they drank, ended up having sex, and then Armin Mivas cut off his penis. They tried to cook it and eat it together, and basically the guy bled out in the bathtub after having his throat slit. And all of it was consensual, and he recorded himself even giving permission and talking about it and so on and so forth. The way that I found that case was, I'm into extreme horror. I like horror movies, especially foreign films, and I came across a movie called Cannibal by Marion Dora. And it basically tells the story of the Armin Mivas case in graphic detail. Marion Dora is a German director who has a whole bunch of films, but he told it in very much graphic detail in a way that you would not be able to see in a theater. I'll leave it there. So I came across that movie as I was researching the case years and years and years ago, and I bought it, and I was just fascinated by it. And unfortunately, you can come across certain images, pictures, and things like that. In the Armin Mivas case, the pictures, the evidence was actually completely locked down and secured. No one could actually watch it, or no one could actually see it. It wasn't shown. They even locked down the courtroom when the trial happened. And one single photograph of the crime scene made it its way online. And I saw that, and it's still to this day one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen. But I think, to me, it's the psychology behind cannibalism. I know this. I used to read studies on it for fun, just because it's just so grotesque, and the fact that there would be someone on Earth who wants to be consumed, who magically somehow found another kindred soul who wants to consume them, is just fascinating and disgusting and just really interesting from a psychological standpoint. So that is probably the case that I'm most interested in. I mean, it's boring, right? It's no Lori Vallow. It's no Charles Manson. It's not, you know, no Ted Bundy, any of those. It's just very short, concise, one crime. But yeah, I find that to be extremely interesting. Let's see. Jennifer asked, where are you from? You have a weird accent. Yes, I do. I was born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee, where I currently am. I'm born and raised here. I went to school here up to high school, and then I left for college. I lived in Portland, Maine before actually moving to the other Portland on the other side of the country in Portland, Oregon. I do not know how I did not come out of here with an accent. Both of my parents did, and most of my friends do. But for some reason, I don't have that Southern draw, and nothing wrong with it, but I didn't get it. Iris asked, what got you into extreme horror, and does Jackie have the same love for the genre? So a lot of you know that I used to have a horror podcast called All Horror, and I just love horror movies. I love horror movies so much because I think that it is the absolute best medium for sociopolitical commentary. I mean, I could literally talk for hours and probably lecture on this professionally, but I just absolutely love it. And when you say you like horror, people are thinking 80s, cheesy 80s films with, you know, boobs and blood and stuff like that. I hate that so much. I absolutely hate it. I find no use for it. So I got into horror movies, and my old podcast allowed me to talk about it and my love for it and do film reviews. And just really, I had so much fun with it. And people would always ask me, have you seen this film? This is supposedly the most disturbing film ever made. And I'm a person who likes to, I guess, push my own personal boundaries. So I discovered that I really love the world of special effects. More power to people who can bring actual realism to a film. I mean, it is literally an art form in order to do that. One of my favorite film of all time is someone on Twitter way back in the day recommended and said, have you seen Martyrs? And at that moment, they tweeted us, and I was in a video store at that moment, and they said, you should really check it out. It's a French film. It is just the most just, it's a really rough watch, but it's my favorite film. And I said, sure, I'll check it out. Well, I found it. I bought it sight unseen, and they told me, do not read about it. Do not read the back of the DVD. Just buy it and go in blind. And I did. And that film literally probably changed my life as far as what I thought cinema was capable of, messaging and so on and so forth. So that was, I would say, probably my gateway into the extreme horror. And to be honest, I've never seen another film that has even come close to that. Yes, I love extreme horror. Martyrs was 100% my gateway into the genre as a whole. And Jackie very much does share a love for extreme horror, although she has more boundaries than I do with films, certain content. So I end up watching pretty much everything that comes out. Ashley asked, what do you do when you are not podcasting? I am a child at heart. I do a lot of things. I have 3 dogs. I have 2 labs and then our puppy, and they take up a lot of my time. I also have a hedgehog and a parrot. So I have my own zoo that I should probably charge my neighbors, you know, $1 to enter my house for the petting zoo, but they take up a lot of my time. And I am a huge gamer. I would say Dead by Daylight, which is, surprise, surprise, a horror game. A multiplayer, so if any of you guys are on PlayStation and you want to play Dead by Daylight, message me privately or email at info@wesawthedevil. I will play with you. And we can talk true crime. But yeah, so I'm a PlayStation purist. I play Dead by Daylight, Madden, Assassin's Creed Valhalla is one of my current games I need to finish. Fallout is my favorite franchise of all time, and I'm not a huge collector of things, but I do like retro futurism, and so Fallout is like really scratches that itch, so I collect a lot of Fallout stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous, I know. And then on the PC, I play Civilization and Tropico. So I mean, I'm usually pretty busy. And then I like trash TV. I love 90 Day Fiancé. The new one, guys, if you have not seen Pig Royalty on Discovery Plus, let me tell you, I never in a million years have thought about, considered, or otherwise entertained the idea of pig shows in Southern Texas. Just not on my radar. Not my cup of tea. And let me tell you, it is like the best show I've ever seen. It's called, I think, Pig Royalty. It's on Discovery Plus. And I will just lay on the couch when I'm tired and exhausted and put that on. And it makes me so happy. It is a fun time. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much what I do as far as my fun time. It consists of animals, caring for the animals, trying to fit in video games anytime that I can. And then now I haven't had a chance to watch a movie in so long. But that's typically what I like to do as far as for fun. Beyond that, I guess if you want to talk career or what I do for a living, as everyone knows, my parents passed away from COVID. So I had to relocate across the country, leave, you know, work, a job and everything. And I actually just started working as a project manager for a software company. So that is what I am now doing for a 9-to-5. Believe it or not, people, podcasts don't bring in the big money. Another Ashley asked, how is the puppy? He is fine. Let me tell you a quick story that actually happened this afternoon, because probably you'll enjoy it. So I was outside playing with Jupiter, and he was running. We're playing ball. He's just the best little boy. And he just suddenly went feral and started biting at my feet. I was wearing Birkenstocks, so that shiny buckle. And he just started biting my feet, biting my legs. And every time I bent down to try to get him, pick him up, he bit my arms. He bit my hands. And guys, well, girls, this is for the other women out there who are listening. He bit my tit. I am not even kidding with you. He got me so good twice and I couldn't get him up. And I was just seeing stars, but he got my tit. It hurt so bad. And so I came inside. He ripped my shirt. I'm wearing a Jaws t-shirt, like the movie Jaws. I'm wearing a Jaws t-shirt currently. And I came inside, got him in his crate somehow as he was attacking me, put him in, looked down. My shirt has a huge hole in it. My nip-nop is damn near like poking out of it. And there is an actual bite, like bleeding under the flesh bite on my boob. So I actually had to just go into the bathroom and get a first aid kit out and, you know, antibacterial cleaning. I mean, it was a mess. So that happened about roughly an hour ago. And yeah, fun time. So Jupiter is great. Thank you for asking. If you would like to take a manic little asshole of a German short-haired pointer, I may know a person. That is all the time that I have today for this episode, guys. Furthermore, we do have more coming on Love Has Won. I'm actually doing a series on Love Has Won with the assistance of some very, very connected people. Love Has Won, if you recall, has Mother God, Father God. They are crazy. They lived in Hawaii for a bit. They verbally abuse, apparently sexually abuse their followers and use a lot of drugs. And they have the live stream on YouTube as well every day. But it's a very, very, very tragic group. As much as we like to laugh and laugh at her Dr. Phil appearance, it's incredibly sad. So because they have ramped up their recruitment process across various social media channels, I feel like we should address them further and more publicly again. So we're actually going to be doing a deep dive on Love Has Won, including commentary from former members. Stay tuned for that. We have a lot actually coming out and coming up. And then part two of Graphic Sexual Horror will be coming out later this week. So we do have a lot of content coming. So check us out. All of our links are in the show notes below, as well as your deal to Formulate, because I swear, guys, Formulate is a real deal. And it's really cool after you do your questionnaire and then you get the email from your chemist and they actually go through a variety of different things of, you know, based on your hair type and your questionnaire results, what they would recommend. And it really is tailored just to you. Check it out. That's in the show notes. And don't forget to titty slap that subscribe button. And we will see you later this week with our second episode in the Graphic Sexual Horror series. Until next crime.